X.
Oh, freedom. Oh, freedom. Oh, freedom over me, and before I'll be a slave, I'll be buried in my grave, and go home to my Lord, and be free.
Once I stood before my grandfather, the griot of my family, and he told me the stories I will tell to you. It is a universal tradition that the children listen to their elders. So the elders, also in tradition, must be prepared to give to the children everything they need. One of the most effective tools for bringing people together to listen and share with each other is the age-old art form, storytelling. It's been that way since the beginning of time. Along the continuum of space and time, over the eons, mankind has endeavored to record his movements, hopes, and dreams, scattering them about like breadcrumbs along the way, so that those who would brave the trail would confidently follow. Therefore, the most important element in this universe are the souls of our children. They are our most precious jewels, our untouched God spirits, our future. As adults and parents, we are compelled to give children everything that will allow them opportunities to grow strong and confident in the knowledge of self and thoroughly understand their responsibility to the world community. When our children are taught to tell their story, all of society flourishes. Telling stories is as simple as breathing. Everyone can do it, and everyone loves to hear a story. Stories are everywhere. If you listen, you will hear the trees speaking through the leaves. Birds tweedly-dop-bop, a jazz melody, offering their own soundtrack to this wonder called life. Listen, it's storytelling time. It's storytelling time. It's storytelling time.
Griot Gold by Beverly Fields Burnett. Out of the West African sun, with its ancient sensibilities, the wisdom keepers emerged, male and female, with their noble and sophisticated style and verbal craft. Call them tribal historian, ambassador, teacher, praise singer, spoken word artist, storyteller. Steeped in ceremony and masterful distinction, the griot was the genealogist that Haley sought in his noble ancestral quest. With mastery of the kora, the kalimba, the balafone, or the powerful djembe, the jali or the griot mesmerizes the community with long-ago stories of village families, knows the history of births and deaths, struggles and survivals, rulers and tyrants, makes sense of lineage and links to the historical masses, recalls forgotten names and pathways as he or she spews out the lineage and links to history. And as the griot ages, as he grows deeper in his own knowledge and wisdom, he sets his watchful sights for a younger one in his own family line, one who might possess the mind and the special eye, one who might begin the careful training, the discipline, and the discernment for a lifetime of tribal memory and selfless duty. Even in this century, we call out our own well-known griots and history bearers in the spirit of old-time wordsmiths. Golden griots like Paul Lawrence Dunbar and James Weldon Johnson are gone. Griots like Hurston and Hughes, Mary Carter Smith, Jackie Torrance and Maya, and our own Baba Chuck Davis and Gail Anderson left us volumes of their precious messages. Yet some griots, storytellers, are still among us, like Alice Walker and Mama Linda Goss, who continue to gather the golden word like a precious grain, generously passing their genius on to the people, keeping us connected to our historical selves as they ring many villages to order.
Mrs. Beverly Fields Burnett, better known in these circles as Poetess.
Lift every voice and sing, till earth and heaven ring, ring with the harmonies of liberty. Let our rejoicing rise high as the listening skies. Let it resound loud as the rolling sea. Sing a song full of the faith that the dark past has taught us. Sing a song full of the hope that the present has brought us. Facing the rising sun of our new day begun, let us march on till victory is won.
Greetings, brothers and sisters. Alafia. Thank you for tuning in to this year's A Season's Griot. Asante Sana. I am your host, Madafo Anochi. There are men and women, usually with black marks on either of the palms of their hands, with good memories and a great capacity to remember words exactly as they had heard them spoken. These people were told the history of the tribes under oath, never to alter, add, or subtract any word. Anyone who so much as thought of changing any of the stories of his tribe fell immediately under a high curse, which covered him, his children, and his children's children. These tribal storytellers were called griots, guardians of the Umlando, keepers of the tribal history. And I, Madafo Anochi Lloyd Wilson, am proud to be one of these.
Kwanzaa is a week-long celebration held in the United States and other nations of the West African diaspora. The Kwanzaa celebration honors African heritage in African American culture and is observed from December the 26th until January the 1st. Kwanzaa has seven core principles called Nguzo Saba. They are Yamoja, unity, to strive for and maintain unity in the family, the nation, the community. Kuja Shakalia, self-determination, to define ourselves, name ourselves, to create ourselves. We no longer answer to Negro, colored, or any negative. Ujima, collective work and responsibility to build and maintain our community together. Ujamaa, cooperative economics to build and maintain our own stores, shops, and other businesses and to profit from them together. Nia, purpose to make our collective vocation the building and developing of our community in order to restore our people to their traditional greatness. Kuumba, creativity, to do as much as we can in every way we can to make our community more beautiful and beneficial than we inherited it. And Amani, faith, to believe with all our hearts in our people, our parents, our teachers, our leaders, and righteousness and victory of our struggle.
Now we welcome Griot Mitch Capel, also known as Granddaddy Junebug. Mitch has been telling stories all over the United States since 1985. He joins us today to tell his favorite story.
When I was 3 years young, my brother Jeff and I would visit grandmothers, our grandparents on different occasions. And when we stayed with my father's parents, Eleanor Lee Capel and A.C. Capel, my grandmother would always, before she tucked us into bed, or she would tuck us into bed, and she would pull out an old, worn edition of the Life and Works of Paul Laurence Dunbar, which had been in our family probably since it was published in 1906. She would pull out that book and she would start reading to us a cabin tale about a weasel and a bear. And just watching her and hearing her, and she seemed to get so much joy out of it and laughing and, you know, and I was so young, I didn't even know what a bear was. The biggest animal I knew was a German Shepherd, because that's what we had. And but just the joy of her telling that story and the joy that it brought us. And when I finished college, my father gave me that book. And when I started reading it, I was like, when he handed it to me, it was like, oh my God. I mean, just the look of the book, it was worn and torn and pages missing and no cover. It was like the most loved book I had ever seen in my life. And so I started reading it, and when I got to that story about a cabin tale, I was like, wow, I remember this story. Oh, this is the story my grandmother told me when I was 3, 4, 5 years old. And so I started reading it to my kids. And of course, they wanted to hear it every night. And by repetition, I memorized the story. This is my variation of the story. So it's not exact because it's just the way I do it. But this is how it goes. And it starts out with, want a story? Just hear that. Where you think I get a story at? Didn't I tell you thee last night? Go away, honey, you ain't right. I got something else to do besides just telling tales to you. Tell you just one? Well, let me see. What that one are gonna be? When you's old, your memory fail. Seem like I don't know no tale. Well, sit down there in that chair and keep still if you want to hear. And take that chin up off them hands and set up nice now, goodness land. Hold yourself up like your pa. Bet nobody ever saw him all scrunched down like you was then. High-toned girls and boys makes high-toned women's and men's. Once they was this big, big bear. Used to live round here somewhere in a cave. He was so big, he could carry off a pig. like you'd pick a chicken up, or your little bit of pup. And he had two great big eyes, just about a saucer size. Why, they looked like two balls of fire dancing round upon a wire when that bear was mad, and laws, y'all ought to seed his paws. Now, did I see him? Child, how you expect that I's going to recollect this here yarn I's trying to spin if you keeps on putting in? There now, don't you cheat, lest I'll send you off to sleep. Now, this here bear go tromping round, eating everything he found. No one couldn't have a farm case that bear he do him harm. And they couldn't catch that scamp anywhere he wanted to tramp. Dare the scoundrel make his track, do his due, and get on back. He was such a sly old limb. Traps was just like fun to him. Now, down near where Mr. Bear lived, there was a weasel there. But they wasn't friends at all, case that weasel was so small. And the bear, just for sass, turned his nose up when he'd pass. Weasel small, of course, but my, them little animals is sly. So this one says he,
"I'll just fix that bear, you'll see."
So he fixes up a plan, and he hunts the farmer man. Now when the farmer see him come, he mints looking mighty glum. But he catches up a stick, and the weasel, he speak up quick. He said, "Hold on, Mr. Farmer Man, I want to explain my little plan. If you wait, I'll tell you where and just how to catch that bear. But I tell you, now you must give me one fat chicken first." Well, the farmer scratched his head. Last he said, "I'll make the tree." So the weasel ate his hen, smacked his mouth, and said, "Well then, set your bait and trap tonight and you'll catch that bear, all right." So the weasel ups to see Mr. Bear and says he, "Well, friend bear, we ain't been friends, but tonight hard feelings end. Now, if you ain't too proud to steal, we can get a splendid meal. Course I wouldn't come to you, but it must be done by two. It's a trap, but we can beat all day tricks and get the meat." "Course I's with you," says the bear. "Come on, weasel, show me where." Well, they walks along until that their meat began to smell in the trap. Then weasel say, "Okay, you hold your paw this way, whilst I hold this spring back so, then you grab the meat and go." Well, that bear, he had to grin as he put his big paw in. But when he juked up, kabing, weasel, he let go this spring. "Then," I said to weasel, "there, I done caught you, Mr. Bear." Oh, that bear did snort and spout, trying his bestest to get out. But the weasel say, "Goodbye. Weasel small, but weasel sly." And the weasel went and run, told that farmer what he done, and the farmer come down there with a cage and caged that bear. And if y'all want to see him too, just go and visit the Ashboro Zoo. There now, ain't that story fine? Run along then, never mind. Want some more? You rascal, you. No sirs and ma'ams, that'll do.
That was my friend, Griot, Mitch Capel, Granddaddy Junebug.
And to show you how it went full circle, storytelling goes full circle. When my grandmother, Elnora Lee Capel, got to the point where my parents couldn't care for her anymore in their home, and she had to go to assisted living, and she went, and they didn't call it Alzheimer's back then. They would say, you know, "Ma's getting a little scattery." I would go visit my grandmother in the assisted living, and she would be there, and I'd walk in, and she'd say, "Hey, Jeffrey." That's my older brother. I'd say, "No, Ma." She'd go, "Hey, well, Ken." And that's my younger brother. I said, "No, Ma, it's Mitchell." She said, "Oh, I knew that. I was just playing." And she would sit there and be staring out in the space, and I would start. Once there was this big, big bear. She said, "Used to live around here somewhere in a cave. He was so big, he could carry off a..." I'd say, "Pig." I would run with it, and as soon as she remembered, I'd let her run with it as far as she could, and I would help her. And So I got to tell that story to her that she told to me at 3 when she was 93.
There's more to come on A Season's Griot.